Good morning, church family. I'm now going to go after the massive cuteness that just happened down there, so bear with me. I'll be reading Matthew 2, 1 through 12 this morning. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, for are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage.' When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The word of the Lord.
Well, good Christmas morning to you. Good to be here today. We can see that many of our church family are visiting and being with their families back home and being with their kids maybe at home today. But it is great to be here with you today. And I imagine by now most of you parents need a nap, right? You've been up a while this morning, so you'll get to go home soon. But it is a good time to be together and to think and pray together here. I was just thinking, seeing the kids up here and the memories that they're making. I have lots of memories of Christmas, and I have a lot of memory of you guys. One of the things I enjoy about these holidays is seeing kids come back home. They're all grown up, and some of them bringing their own kids to be here. But I have great memories of you. Christmas brings up those kind of memories. I was thinking John Roebling, here today, and John, when John was a first grader, I want you to know my vivid memory of John as a first grader. That fall, we'd been, Agape was doing a special program where all the area churches, kids in the churches, were designing Christmas cards. And so the kids were designing Christmas cards, and I had the kids designing Christmas cards here, and they were going to print the best Christmas cards and kind of use those as a fundraiser through Agape. And so we were going through the Christmas cards one night in Kids Praise, and I got this card, and it was John's card, and I thought, this is, and on the front was a little boy standing there holding a fish on the front of the card. I said, and you open up the card, and it said, "It's a Christmas cod." That was classic John Roebling right there, let me tell you. That was awesome. So I have these memories of you guys that I have, and I really enjoy that one. It's always tickled me. So he gets that pun thing very, very naturally, if you know his mother. So that's where he gets it all. Well, all this excitement about Christmas and thinking I found this photo. I dug a photo out for you guys. 50 years ago, Christmas morning, 50 years ago, and this is me and my sister Becky, and we're opening up our Christmas presents. And if you'll notice, there's a real, that's the way you used to do Christmas trees. You'd go out in the woods and you'd cut one down and you'd bring it home, and that's the way it was. And Gwen, you will notice that you can see actual tree through the ornaments, okay? You can see a lot through the tree. There were not a lot of branches on that tree. We didn't take long to decorate a tree like that. This is in our living room, and we had white carpet in our living room, and so the only day that we were allowed in the living room was on Christmas Day. Mother did not want us tracking up her carpet. Then here's my sister, and she, do you notice that her doll looks exactly like she does? I think it was my parents' way of trying to freak me out that Sunday. Oh no, there's two of them all of a sudden. Her doll looks just like her. And you can see I am very pleased with the gift that I got from Santa, a working Batmobile dashboard. Working, the emphasis, working on that. I know kids today get Batmobiles that actually are fully functional and you can ride around in and that kind of thing in the house, but back then if it had a steering wheel that turned and a light that flashed, it was a big deal. So this was, I remember this very, 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 very profoundly. For those of you who are concerned that these two gifts might reinforce gender stereotypes, I'll let you know. Of course, my sister has a Jeep now that you have to have a ladder to climb up into, and I did spend 25 years as a children's minister. So what is that? What do you make of all of that, right? So you can't go off of those things. So there you go. I think I'll only remember two specific Christmas presents that I got when I was a kid. This one I remember just so plainly. And then the other one was when I was about 9 or 10, and I got a motorized model airplane. Now, this was not the remote control kind of airplane. This one was attached to two wires, were attached to the airplane. You have one of those, Stuart? And it had a handle. And, you know, maybe 50, 60 feet, of wire, and then you had a handle, and you would hold the handle, and the plane would go up, and you could control the plane masterfully, right, with this handle. And so I remember that morning, and I got that motorized airplane. We got up, and my dad and I, we put it together, and then we got bundled up, and we went out to the place we could think of, okay, let's go to the baseball field. And so we were standing in the infield in the baseball field at the community park there, and my dad says, you know what, won't you let me try it first? I mean, he could look at it and see, this is going to be difficult. This kid is not going to be able to handle this. So, oh yeah, absolutely, Dad, you try it first. So he takes it, and we start the airplane. It just sounds awesome. It's got the great, and he, takes off, and it powers up. And he'd made about a half a revolution, and the plane was just, through the air. It was, and then it nosed over and went straight into the ground about second base, I think. And there were pieces scattered between the pitcher's mound and the outfield. And I never flew that plane. That was it. I think my dad felt, I remember thinking, he's a lot more disappointed about this than I am. I could see that's not going to work. I couldn't do that. But he was kind of really disappointed about it. I'm sure he was heartbroken. Gifts say something about hopes and expectations. They say something about both the hopes and expectations of those who give the gift and those who receive the gift. The hopes that we have, the future that we can kind of foresee what we're trying to do with those gifts. The Magi in the story give Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, aren't those strange gifts to give a baby? It might have been more practical to give them candles, a broom, and some Febreze, I think, for where they were. But in that culture, everyone knew that those gifts were gifts fit for a king, even maybe for a god. Now, the gifts aren't the only strange things in that really familiar story. There's the Magi themselves. They're strange. When you read that, don't read wise men. Don't read kings. Those are poor. That's a poor translation on one hand and a later tradition on the other. It's Magi. And that's the same word that we get the word magician from. The Magi were astrologers and sorcerers, pagan Gentiles who practiced divination and looked for signs and messages in the celestial bodies. They worshiped the stars and the planets and the comets. Now in Acts, when Peter runs into a magi named Simon Magus, and Magus is the singular of magi, remember the magi tries to buy the power of the Holy Spirit from him. And Peter doesn't think that's a very good idea, if you'll remember. And then Paul runs into a magi named Elymas, and he calls Elymas a son of the devil. So the magi, as the Jewish people looked at them, were spiritually messed up. Jews did not like magi. That's about the worst Gentile that they could imagine. And so what do we have magi doing, tromping through the first Christmas story? Well, you better believe Matthew's church would have wondered about that too. Matthew's writing to Jewish Christians living in a Gentile city, and they're struggling with their identity as Jews, and they're wondering about all these Gentiles hovering around the church like flies at a church barbecue. Matthew gives them then this picture, the first people to worship Christ, and it's magi. Now, another weird thing about this story is the reaction of the Jewish leaders. Herod the Great is a very powerful ruler. He's the only Jewish ruler that the Romans would give the title King of the Jews. Herod ruled the Jews through fear and intimidation for almost 35 years. And the Magi, logically, you know, where am I going to look for a king or a newborn king? And they come to Herod's palace looking for that newborn king. And it throws Herod completely off his game. He's disturbed. He's afraid. Here's a baby in a crib versus a ruler on a throne, an experienced, brutal dictator. And the guy on the throne is the one who's shaking. And that's strange. Herod is maybe called the king of the Jews, but he doesn't know the scripture of the Jews. He turns to the priests and the scribes, the Bible scholars, the religious leaders, the insiders. They know the scripture, and they know exactly where Messiah is supposed to be born. They don't even have to look it up. Bethlehem. But are those preachers and Sunday school teachers willing to get on their bicycles and pedal 5 miles down the road to see for themselves? Nope. This is the greatest moment in Jewish history. The greatest moment in all history. What they'd been pointing to, their entire belief system had been pointing to, and they miss it. They yawn, they go back to whatever it was they were doing. But the Magi make it. They follow the star, and then they follow scriptures, and then God leads them directly to the child. It's really a crazy zigzag kind of journey. But they make it. And then when they arrive, they are overjoyed. They bow. They worship. They give gifts for a king. They went to a palace and they couldn't find what they were looking for. And then they go to a shack, a poor family, a little child, and they find everything that they'd hoped for. Thankfully, the God who can make children of Abraham out of rocks can make Christians out of a few pagan idol worshipers. You can't really always predict who's going to follow God. Some people are so concerned with maintaining the status quo and their place in life that they're going to fight it. Some folks are so confident or so fed up with waiting that they are not going to notice it. Maybe the ones who follow are those that we least expect it so often because they recognize their own inadequacy and they admit that they need help. Maybe while you're looking for help, you can be open to God. And I guess that a God who comes as a helpless baby must truly value humility. We are thankful today for this child who came for us, and we are thankful for a God who invites magi to Christmas, and we are thankful for you being here today and joining us together in worship. Let's sing another song here before we have communion and prayer.